routine. How you doing this morning, Pete?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, just glad the weekend is upon us, and so happy that the science has bore out the ability of the governor to go ahead and, I guess, throw a bone our way. Aren't you excited about the science, Pete?
The political science, yes, indeed, and the polling data, the science and the data. That's what drives these decisions.
Yeah. All right. So you made a point. I saw you tweet this the other day. It's a valid point. If the metrics now, as I saw in the headline on RAL yesterday, are, quote, as low as they've been since October, why wouldn't you open the bars in October? Is it simply the reason that I think where November follows October, or do you think there's something else at play?
So I think if going by history, right, and this is how you measure, you know, potential future actions is looking at the past, particularly the recent past. If you look at the way the governor has reacted to various challenges to his executive orders that some might say were a little draconian or a little harsh, some of these shutdown orders, whenever he gets challenged on them, he folds. So you can go back all the way to the beginning. Remember the churches, right? They were restricted from gathering, and this did not sit well for a lot of the flock, and eventually challenges came. And when they did, what happened? You got an exemption for the churches, right? Then there was the gyms. Then there was the bowling alleys, and the bowling alleys, they actually sued, and they went to get a restraining order, or temporary injunction, I should say. They sought this injunction, and they were they did well. I believe they were actually successful in getting it, and then Cooper lifted that restriction on the bowling alleys. And now you've got a court hearing, or you had one last week, where the bar, was it Club 519 in Greenville? They are suing the governor over these restrictions, saying that you're treating us differently than you treat breweries and wineries. And there really isn't any difference if you've been to a brewery and you've been to a bar. I would challenge you to tell me and define the difference between those operations, because many of them are identical, right? So they get a food truck out front, and
hold on.
Yeah.
Alan are trying to get over here and make the point that just because he's treating them differently. They do have a reason, and I want to read it because it's so stupid.
I know this reason.
Yeah. The people's risk of spreading COVID-19 is higher in bars because people traditionally engage in activities in bars that result in increased respiratory effect. Which I don't kind of, I why is that not the filter through which we should have seen, I don't know, hundreds of screaming people gathering together in our downtown?
Well, because as we went over, I think in the past, COVID knows. This is the smartest virus in world history. It knows. For example, it knows that at these bars that are now going to be allowed to open at 30% capacity, not 50% capacity like the breweries and the restaurants and such, they're all allowed to now be at 50%. The bars, they're going to be at 30%, and they have to have seating. So you have to encourage people to sit down, take the masks off, sit down at a table where you're going to hang out for longer. I mean, this is, if you worked in a restaurant or anything, you know, the longer people are sitting at a table, right, the more likely they are to order more. And the longer they're at that once they sit down, they're going to be at the table longer than if they're just standing at a bar. Right. Because you just walk away anyway. So COVID apparently only hangs out above the 5 foot level, as best I can tell. This is what I'm just reading between the lines here, that if you're standing, then you're going to catch it. But if you can sit down at a table, it apparently wards off the COVID, and the COVID knows that you're seated. So it's not going to smite you. I believe that's how that works. I haven't really gotten any kind of confirmation on that. I'm just spitballing.
You know what? It also sounds like you're mocking it, but I would point out that I wouldn't mock it, because that would explain why the kids get the COVID less. And
have
we studied little persons?
You mean for COVID or just in general?
Well, if I'm going by the Pete Callender 5 foot theory,
I am not aware of any specific COVID-related research on little persons. No. I am aware that there is some other research on little persons in general that's not COVID-related, but I would be hard-pressed to pull those out. But here's the thing, is that the bars have sued. They did so poorly. Their lawyers did so poorly in court, where the judge literally says to them, please, I'm begging you, give me some evidence. Like, when the judge tells you that, generally speaking, as a lawyer, not a good sign. Not a good sign. So he's begging the lawyer.
Just to be specific, not the bars.
No.
The governor's lawyers.
Correct. The lawyers for the governor. They did such a poor job that immediately after that hearing, Cooper lifts the restrictions. And here's the deal. In doing so, and this is in all seriousness, in doing so, what this means is that he gets to protect the authority, right? He gets to preserve the power in case he wants to ride that dimmer switch back down again. Because if the numbers take a turn and they start going back up, then what do you think he's going to do? What's the first industry do you think he targets? I'm thinking it's the last one that he's lifted restrictions on. He's going to start locking them back down again. And so the lawyer, I spoke to her for the lawyer who represents the bar out in Greenville. She's hoping that the judge will actually allow the or give a ruling or allow her to proceed on settling this question so as to prevent the governor from coming back and implementing these restrictions once the numbers, or if the numbers, I should say, take a turn, and they start going back up again. But they are down again, like they're at where they were in October when he was keeping these bars still shut down. And then in October, to his credit, right, he did say, well, let's allow them to operate outside, like on the size of a tennis court, and you're allowed to have like three people or something in this space. And oh yeah, that'll save the bars. Oh, and also you can buy a margarita to go. Like, this is going to save the bars. It's ridiculous. And what they're arguing, the bars are arguing, is treat us the same as like businesses. We don't have a powerful lobby, apparently, like the breweries and the wineries do. I don't know why. Either that, or I have speculated, pure speculation, that I think a bad thing happened to Governor Cooper at some point when he was in a bar, maybe back in college or something, and maybe that's why there's this animus. Yeah. I don't know.
I have never been able to wrap my head around it too, because look, especially with some of the folks that I know that are involved with, like, the Tavern Association, because mm-hmm. there's a couple groups here. Yeah, these are people who voted for Cooper, the ones that I talked to. They like him.
Right.
and I've had conversations with them, and I can't figure it out for the life of me.
Well, I think it is about influence. Also, I think that liberals tend to like breweries and wineries better than the nightclubs, I think. I mean, it might be that silly. I don't know. Here's the other thing. We still don't know. It's been a year, and we still don't know who's informing him of this stuff. Like, who is he seeking? Who are his advisors that help him make these decisions? He just talks in this real nebulous way about, you know, I talk to the different people and business leaders and industry people and experts and science and data and facts and science and data and facts. But we don't know who these people are. Don't you think? I don't know that if we're taking orders from him and he's being advised by some, you know, select Politburo, I'm thinking we should know who they are.
You know, one of the things that I was realizing yesterday, because there was a story that had nothing to do with any of the COVID stuff, which really, in reality, if you're Roy Cooper, I'll bet if we counted up the entirety of the questions you've taken as governor for a year, I mean, it's minuscule. And the questions that he gets are largely useless, by the way, for people who don't tune into the press conferences. But, I mean, nobody gets to ask him about anything. And there are a lot of other issues out there where there's just simply not an opportunity to do so. I mean, you can send an email to his people, but actually sitting there and being able to ask the governor a question, how great must it be to be a politician and not have to take questions that aren't hand selected by your own screening system?
Yeah.
At your weekly press conference, it's mind blowing.
So two things. Number one, this is why I call it the Big D Shield. This is a benefit that you get by being a Democrat. It's a shield. Being a Democrat acts as a shield, and you get that privilege in dealing with media. They don't care, apparently. They don't, like, to me, I would be irate if I was a member of the Capitol Press Corps and this is the way I was being treated, getting stiff-armed from the press conferences or being, you know, herded like a child. Like, you guys are being played. You're worked. And here's the second point. The Senate Bill 37, this is the bill that would force school districts to offer in-person learning, right?
Right.
Is Cooper going to veto that?
I think he's just not going to touch it, and then it will become law.
Nobody knows, right? Nobody knows what he's doing because he hasn't had to answer the question. Because in two different press conferences now over the last week and a half, not a single reporter has thought of the question? That just defies logic to me. And I don't understand, is the press corps getting worse? Seriously, I've been in this business 20 plus years. I was a reporter for a decade. You were a reporter as well. This is the most obvious question there is that I would think even an idiot with a microphone could figure this out. I figured it out. So come on. How is it that you have a dozen reporters sitting on the line listening to the press conference and not a single one thinks, hey, are you actually going to veto this thing? Nobody. How does that happen?
Well, they asked him. They asked him, but they asked him at the one press conference. They did ask him about it, and his answer was, they asked him if he would support the bill. It was the press conference where he came out to announce he's mm-hmm. recommending that they open schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, and he said, there are elements of it I don't like. Mm-hmm. And that apparently was good enough, because that was the entirety of his explanation at that press conference.
Right, and that's not an answer to the question. He doesn't actually answer the question. I know what you're talking about. It was Dawn Vaughn from the News and Observer. She's the only one that's gotten close, kind of like sniffing around the perimeter of the question to try to get an answer. And she's asked, "Well, what are why not just make a change now, do something now?" It's always kind of in this lofty timing kind of framing of the question, rather than a very a simple yes or no. Are you going to veto it? Because he says he won't sign it. So we know that he's not going to sign it. So now what's left? He can veto, or he can what I call pocket pass it, right? He can not sign it, but it then becomes law. But what he's doing is he's playing four corners defense. He's slow rolling all of this as a way to placate the teachers union so they can get their vaccines, right? And he's not going to lose power. This is the common thread. He's going to protect his authority. That's the point. It isn't even about this local control or the, I'm worried about the safety protocols because I believe districts can do this safely. But if we don't tell them how to do it, then they can't do it safely. It's a paradoxical argument.
You and I need to have a longer discussion on one of these times, because the thing that terrifies me the most with all of this is that for whatever reason, when it's all said and done, we won't sit down and explicitly outline how emergency powers are to be utilized.
Yeah.
Because remember, we can't even... There's a disagreement. I think the governor's dead wrong. There's a disagreement about whether he has to even include the Council of State members.
He thought he did.
How long it can go.
Yeah, he thought he did. He thought he did. Remember at the very beginning, the very first mm-hmm. order, he went to the Council of State, and then he went out and did a press conference before he got the full answer back, because he knew he wasn't going to get the answer he wanted. So he just said, screw it, I'm going to go around them. And yeah, you're right. Ever since then, We're just in this position where he's exercised his powers under the Emergency Management Act, and it's been a year. And you're exactly right. I don't think it was ever contemplated to last this long. This is no longer an emergency. Emergencies are tornadoes and hurricanes, you know, landslides or something, flooding. This is not a year-long emergency that he gets to act as, you know, king of the land of Roy. That's not how this is supposed to work.
And not just him.
Correct.
Anybody who's in that position. And finally, Pete, you need to keep up. We're not on the teacher vaccine thing anymore.
Oh.
Now it's about HVAC systems. They need HVAC systems. I'm reading about this. So
I thought you were going to mention Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Oh, we covered that earlier. That's Potato Head.
It's just Potato Head. Yeah. Right. Well, and to me, the glaring omission in the coverage of that story, nobody's thinking about the long-term impact on the tater tots. I don't understand.
That's a very good point. Who's thinking of the tater tots?
Right.
All right, on that note, We'll contemplate, and we'll regroup next week, sir.
Really makes you think. All right. Thank you, Casey.
Show.com.
Always a pleasure, man.